Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 14. And I've been mentioning how this year I want God's blessings all over your life. I really do. And I mentioned that this past Wednesday night. And by the way, by the grace of God, we'll finish up the message this coming Wednesday that I started last Wednesday. And we'll conclude it with Joseph. But today, God wanted me to go for the Sunday morning congregation a different direction, and then we'll conclude that message that I started last Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night. Hebrews chapter 3, and I want you to look at a very familiar passage, or semi-familiar to some, and we're going to look at other passages. Look at verse number 14 down through verse number 19. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved? 40 years. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? For we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. I want to speak on a subject, and if we can get this, and I kind of want you to get the antithesis of this, but you'll understand it as we get into it. But I'm going to speak on a subject, one of the most destructive sins in the world. One of the most destructive sins in the world. And if we can get victory over this, we will see God's blessings flow in our life in a mighty way. And that's my desire for you. You know, God reminded me of something just a little while ago when I was back in my office, something that transpired yesterday that was a blessing. And I had forgotten about how I had prayed about something at the very beginning of the year. I had prayed about it and asked God to work in this situation, something personal, but it would be a blessing to our family. And I prayed, and, you know, you left it and went on. You know, by the way, we're not heard for our much speaking. And then this thing began to come to pass yesterday, and I didn't even think about it until just a little while ago how God reminded me what I'd prayed just a few months back. And I'm telling you, God is a good God. And you say, what is it, Pastor? I'm not going to tell you what it is, at least not now. Amen? But whenever it's time, you know I always give God the glory. Amen? And so I want God to really move and work in your life in a mighty way. And I'm going to preach on, as I've already stated, one of the most destructive sins in the world. Get victory over this sin. And I'm telling you, God will bless your life. Let's get some help. Father, thank you so much for what you've done. Father, you've been so good to us. Father, you gave us your son who willingly gave his life. And we know that you've told us in your word that you will freely with him give us all things. Now, Father, we're asking right now that you would help your people in this building this morning. Father, I pray that you'll help us to be able to get victory over this most destructive sin so that you can do what you desire to do in our lives individually, and we know it's going to flow over to those that we're associated with. Now, please, Father, move and work in a special and mighty way, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we do ask it. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Probably today, if I would go to the Christian community, and I wouldn't have to go very far, but if I would go to the Christian community at large, if I would get on television and maybe ask this question and ask people to send in their responses, you know, however we want to choose the form of media in which they would do it. But if I would just ask the Christian community at large what they would consider to be one of the most destructive sins that a person could ever commit, I believe that we would probably get a number of answers, but I think that probably one of the answers that I do not believe that we would get a whole lot of response in that particular area is the area in which I am preaching about today. And that's this one word, unbelief. We probably don't think of unbelief as a terrible, wicked, and ungodly and destructive sin. We would probably list all kinds of things that would come at the very top of the list: homosexuality, lesbianism, fornication and drunkenness, and all of these other things that we could list. And we probably would not put unbelief, which is a lack of faith, on that list as a destructive sin. But I'm telling you right now, as we have examined the Word of God and will examine the Word of God, we will see that unbelief, a lack of faith, really is one of the most, I said one of the most, destructive sins in the world. You say, why is it so destructive? Because of what and how it affects us. Think about this. When we think about a sin, we think about how a sin affects us and how it can take things away from us and how it can destroy what's on the inside. Well, unbelief can do the same thing. And see, what I want out of this congregation is I want us to be men and women of faith, people who just believe God, trust God, regardless of how things look, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of how we feel. We trust God unconditionally. We don't put any kind of stipulations on God. We just say, God, be God. And that's what God wants to do. And when we do that, we are right in line with him, because the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth looking for someone that he can show himself strong on the behalf of. And God is looking for somebody through whom he can work. God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. And we're going to deal with that thing concerning what I have said, one of the most destructive sins in the world. Why is it? Number one, because unbelief hinders what the Lord can do. Notice Matthew chapter 13, verse 53 down through verse 58. Very familiar passage. We've preached a message from this particular passage. Notice Matthew chapter 13. Notice verse 53 down through verse 58. Matthew 13. Notice verse 53 down through verse 58. When you get there, say amen. All right, you other ones, wait for me. I'll catch up with you. Notice Matthew chapter 13, and notice verse 53 down through verse 58. It says, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he had come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, now whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, not Iscariot? This is another Judas, his brother. Matter of fact, it was Jude, the one who wrote the book of Jude. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Notice verse 58. And I've used this verse often in various messages, but notice verse 58. And he did not many mighty works there because of their, somebody help me out. What's the next word? Say it again. Do you know that unbelief literally hinders what the Lord can do? See, the Lord did mighty works in other places, but when he came to his own hometown, he could not do many mighty works there in his own country because of their unbelief. Do you know the Lord likes to operate in mighty things? I said mighty things. You know, even when I was preparing this morning, last night, yesterday, and just going over, because see, once I get a message and I look at, I just don't just take it and then leave it. I go over it. and go over it and go over it and get it in my heart. Because when I preach it, I want to communicate something that can help you. And I want you to sense the fervor that God has placed in my soul. Because when you look at something and you look at something and God begins to show you time and time other things in there that you can incorporate. And one thing that I believe came down real heavy on me is that my people need to get to the place to where they believe me and trust me. Some are wavering. Get up there and help them. You're going to be Joshua and Caleb this morning. And I've come this morning to say, by the grace of God, if you're doubting what God can do, throw the doubt away, because God can do mighty things. But if we operate in unbelief, it literally will hinder what the Lord can do. He wants to do some mighty things. He wants to do mighty works in your finances. You got to see yourself being financially free. Free. Not being labored and hampered with debt. You need to see the Lord giving you a job and doing a mighty work in that area. You need to see God touching your body and healing you in that particular area. Maybe you've got a loved one, and that loved one is outside of the pale of salvation. Don't allow the enemy or your own flesh to think that God can't move in and work in that situation. Keep right on praying and trusting God. God can do a great work. Maybe you feel like as if you are as dry as the Mojave Desert. Hey, God can move in and refresh your soul. He can give you water in your dry places. He can turn your deserts into garden spots. Hey, but you have to have faith and trust in him. Don't operate in unbelief. Let Jesus work a mighty work in your life. See, unbelief hinders what the Lord can do. Secondly, unbelief hinders us from receiving our blessings. I said unbelief hinders us from receiving our blessings. Notice Hebrews chapter 3 again. I didn't explain this as I was going through it. I mainly just read it. But now look at Hebrews chapter 3 again. And notice verse 17 down through verse number 19. Unbelief hinders us from receiving our blessings. Notice Hebrews chapter 3 and notice verse 17 down through verse number 19. It says, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? He said, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believed not, only two entered in that were above the age of 20 years old and upward, and that was Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else above the age of 20 years old and upward died in the wilderness during those 40 years because of their sin. What was that sin? Their sin of unbelief. Notice verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. God wanted the children of Israel to inherit the promised land. You understand that. You know that. But they got right on the brink of their blessing, and they sent the 12 spies in. You know the story. You're familiar with it. You say, preacher, why are you saying that? You'll understand in just a little bit. We all know the story. We're all familiar with it. 10 spies came back with a negative report. 2 spies came back with a positive report. The two spies said, God can do it. They're like grasshoppers to us. And by the way, excuse me, they were saying, we're like grasshoppers in their sight as far as the 10 were saying. And Joshua and Caleb were saying, listen, God can take care. They're like bread for us. We can go out there and take this land. But they wouldn't listen. And the problem was they listened to the wrong people. They listened to a negative report. And because they listened to the negative report of the 10 and did not listen to Joshua and Caleb, God said, that's it. God said, listen, I have done miracle after miracle after miracle, after miracle, after miracle, after miracle, after miracle. I brought you out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. I performed 10 miracles there in Egypt, each one of them against their gods. By the way, I'm ad-libbing a little bit, but I'm right along with the scriptures. I gave you water from a rock when you needed it. I gave you and have been giving you bread from heaven. Your clothes has not worn out. Your shoes have not gotten any larger. I have taken care of you. When you couldn't see your own way, I parted the Red Sea for you. I've already told you by my spoken word through God's man, through my man, that the land is yours. I have already promised you the land. All you've got to do is just go in there and claim it. We know that story. We understand that truth. And we say, how could the children of Israel, after God did one thing after another, after another, after another, after another, how could they face one situation and look at it and say, God is not big enough to handle that, and operate in unbelief? You say, how could they do that? Well, let me ask you a question. If you've been saved for any period of time, you ought to be able to look back and see where God did this and God did that and God met here and God touched there and God did this and God did the other and God moved here and God supplied there and God gave direction here. And sometimes we can be faced with one thing and all of a sudden we forget all that God has done. And sometimes God can get upset with us. Why? Because we're operating in unbelief. We're saying he cannot, when God is saying the whole time, there's nothing too hard for me. We have a God who is all powerful. And see, unbelief will hinder us from receiving our blessings. God was already saying the land is yours. All you have to do is just go in there and claim it. Just go in there and get it. There is a rest for you. It didn't mean that they were going to go in there and just sit down and not have to do anything. They had to face some walled cities, but God was going to give them victory in the midst of everything they faced. And that is a tremendous picture, even of the Christian life. I won't get into it, but that's what the wilderness wanderings are, a tremendous picture of the Christian life. And God has done so many things for us, but when we hear the wrong reports, it can mess us up. Isaiah chapter 53, don't turn there, but verse number 1. That great prophetic passage concerning our wonderful Messiah. And it starts off like this: who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Do you understand what the arm of the Lord means? That literally means the power of the Lord. And see, it's like they ought to be able to look back at scripture and believe what God has already said and what he's about to say. And he gives that tremendous prophetic passage concerning the Lord Jesus Christ there in Isaiah chapter 53. Here's the problem that sometimes we face as believers. We're believing the wrong report. We need to believe what God has said in his word. Listen, let me testify. I've told you a number of times that I have heard a lot of negative reports. I've been hearing negative reports ever since I trusted Christ as my Savior. After I trusted Christ as my Savior, my friends told me, oh, that thing, it won't even last 2 weeks. He's not going to keep it up. Well, praise God, it's been 33 years, amen? When God will do a work in your life, he does a tremendous work. Every time you hear a negative report, I'll tell you what you do. You go get God's report. See, God has given us a report. And over in his word, he has said things like, you're more than conquerors through him that love us. He said things like, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He says some things like this, that don't you worry about the things of this life. In other words, I'll just go ahead and quote the scripture where he said, good night. I had it right there and then it went, amen. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the furnace, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? God takes care of the grass. God takes care of the birds. And if God takes care of the sparrow, he'll take care of you. God's already given us a report. Whose report are you going to believe? Hey, I've been living this thing long enough to know every time I hear a negative report, all I've got to do is get my mind fashioned right to God's report. I've heard a lot of negative reports. You've heard me tell. I heard a negative report about our home. The realtor told me you'll never be able to get what you're looking for at that particular price. I'm not going to go into it because you've heard it a number of times. But to make a long story short, God gave us our home, and we only had to pay $4 and some change to get into it. Amen. And it was before the time, the late 1990s, before they started letting you didn't have to have any kind of credit and so forth. You can get some things. Now they're starting to tighten back down again. But we got during a tough time. God worked. God worked. So you hear one report, you got to come back with a different report. Well, who has believed our report? We heard a report about our kids. People used to tell us, well, you're hindering your children. If you need to let them go out and experience some of the world, y'all keep too tight of a rein on them. That was a negative report. We had another report. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. See, they had one report. We had another report. I'd rather believe God's report. By the way, let me just throw this in there that wasn't in here, but sometimes you just got to trust God and believe God with some things. See, because now the world says, follow Dr. Spock's philosophy and don't discipline your children. That's the world's report. You're going to mess them up negatively. If you're spanking them, what you got to do is put them in a time out and be real cordial to them. You know, today what we really call hyperactivity is nothing more than a lack of a switch or a belt. That's all it is. Am I right about it? Somebody give me amen right there. That's all hyperactivity is, just a lack of a switch or a belt. Our kids been sitting in church ever since they were 4 years of age. We used to keep them in the nursery, and once they reached four, they were sitting in church. You say, what happens if they got a little hyperactive and they want to slide and cut up and so forth? We cut up right along with them. We cut up right along with them. Oh, not in church. At least not in the sanctuary. We take them out because, see, we had a different report. If you love them, you got to put the rod on them. And I'm not talking about anything abusive. I'm not talking about that. But I've said a number of times, God has prepared a place that is well padded where you can do some reporting. And you can report for duty and handle things. Dr. Spock said, don't spank them. God said, you better spank them. I'm going to believe his report. I was cut up in church. I told you a number of times. We take them out, right? As soon as they cut up, it wasn't like, okay, stop. We're going to stop, 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 stop. We're going to get home. Now stop. Now you get home, forget. No. When they cut up, I want to open the door, go right to the door, go to the bathroom. Matter of fact, I'll take them right out to the car. Open the car door. Close the car door. Drape them across. My knee, belly first. Now, I'd already had everything prepared because my belt's already off. And I know how to catch it so they do the right work. Amen. I ain't have a switch. I use my belt. And I take that belt. I'd grab it and let it go about right here. That's all you need. That's all you, just that much right there. And I tell you what you do. You let them have it. Don't go overboard. Say, when do you stop? You know when to stop. You know when to stop. You say, but mine, they won't cry if I beat them. Oh, yeah, well, they'll cry. All right, if they don't cry, then you do some surgery. do some surgery. He said, what do you mean by surgery? All right, if in other words, if they got too much padding back there where they can't cry, do some surgery. He said, what do you mean by surgery? What do you mean by surgery? I don't know if I should tell you or not, but I'm going to tell you. All right, if they got too much padding back there, all right, then if it's a girl, lift up that dress. Now, don't just sit there like as if you don't know what I'm talking about. If you got two or three slips on them in a big, thick dress or whatever it is, then take care. I remember I used to watch them little cartoons, Tom and Jerry. And they never show the lady's head. But the maid, a little rat coming in, she jump on the stool, and she pull up about 9 or 10 slips. How many of you remember that? You got to be old to remember that one now. You got to be old. All right, you're dating yourself right now. You're dating yourself. You're old. See, we got too many reports, and we listen to the wrong reports. And sometimes what you got to do is just put them across your knee and let them have it right in the seat of correction. And I tell you what will happen after a while when they're in church and they feel like they want to squirm a little bit. All of a sudden, things will come back. So you got to believe the right report. And see, some said, oh, you hindering them. You ought not to do this. You ought not to do that. But I hate to tell this story, but I've been living long enough to see some of them that's been in relationship after relationship, shacking and all kind of stuff, out there on thing, not serving God, not loving God, but praise God, and to God be the glory, all of ours are serving God. I believe his report. See, unbelief, it hinders us from receiving our blessings from the Lord. I've told you about how I needed a job. I've never, ever had to worry about needing a job or getting a job. Never, ever. Anytime I ever went to look for one, God always gave me one. Never had to worry about it. When I got out of the military, I was hearing a negative report. The negative report, when I got out in 1980, unemployment was up over 13%, especially for blacks. They showed long lines of people standing out in front of the unemployment office right before it was time for me to get out 2 months before. I said, I'm not watching until I turned it off. I said, I'm not watching that anymore. And I told God, I said, God, I said, I've got to have a job making $5 an hour to match my salary that I'm getting here in the military. People think military people make a lot of money. Amen. We survive. But $5 back in 1982, that was pretty good. Wasn't great, but it was pretty good. And God gave me a job. And I'm going to tell you something. The very first job I got hired on, I got hired as a supervisor, $5 an hour. I think I believe God's report. Came off the Bible college, need a job. The first place I went to was Wells Fargo. I went to Wells Fargo. When I got over to Wells Fargo, I talked to the lady. And the lady there, you've heard me tell the story. She said, we don't have anything here for you. Sitting in office, I was getting ready to leave. And she said, how are you going to do? I said, I'm just going to live by faith. See, she gave one report. I gave another report. Every time you get a negative report, you respond back with a faith report. She said, come here and sit down. You've heard me tell it, but some of you haven't. And she said, come here, sit down. She got on the phone and called a supervisor in another area. She said, I've got a man here, a young man here you need to talk to. Make a long story short, I got hired back then it was Wachovia back then, but now it's Wells Fargo, but got hired by them. First place I went, all because speaking to that lady, don't even know if she was a believer, but I say it, I'm just trusting by faith. And see, you just got to keep right on doing that. And every time you hear a report, you've got to keep right on bringing a positive report. Far too often, we listen to the wrong report. The children of Israel listened to the wrong report, and it hindered what God could do in their life. Listen, your child or children, don't listen to a negative report about them. See God using them. See God blessing them. You say, but they aren't all of what they need to be. Well, maybe all throughout your life you hadn't been what you needed to be, but look at you now. Somebody was believing God on your behalf. I've told you before, I had a grandmother who was believing God on my behalf, and God saved my soul, and I wrote and told her about it after I got saved. I don't care what they're doing right now, where they are right now. Believe God, not the world. Believe God, not your own flesh. Believe God, not the circumstances. Unbelief hinders us from receiving our blessings from the Lord. You've got to believe. Maybe some of you here, you're dealing with some health issues, and if the truth be known, probably all of us got a little something going on. Some maybe to greater degrees than others. You're going to hear a lot of negative reports. You come back with positive reports. I believe God, regardless of what somebody says. Jairus heard about his child. They said, don't even bother the master. Dad, Jesus looked at him and says, be not afraid, only believe. And Jairus kept right on believing and received his child back to life. See, when you hear one report, come back with another. If you hear a negative report about your future, see yourself getting into your promised land. Come back with a positive report. You've got to see yourself blessed. I don't know to whom I'm talking, but I feel it deep down on the inside that maybe the devil's been trying to tell you your future is bleak. It's not good. He is a liar. 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 Matter of fact, let me find him around here. He's a liar. Matter of fact, you're going to help me out. Every time I say the devil, you say he's a liar. The devil.
He's a liar.
The devil.
He's a liar.
Satan.
He's a liar.
The devil.
He's a liar.
Diabolos.
He's a liar.
Whatever you want to call him.
He's a liar.
He is a liar. And you've got to believe that. There has to be something on the inside of you that every time you hear a negative report, it's like it stirs you on the inside. It angers you on the inside because you know what God can do. And every time you hear a negative report, you say, by the grace of God, I'm not going to let that negative report stop me. I'm going to keep right on believing God. I've heard negative report after negative report after negative report after negative report. I had reports. You cannot be healed. You will not be healed. One doctor said this. Another doctor said that. They are liars. Liars. That doesn't mean that God heals everybody, but if he doesn't heal you, that means he's going to give you some extra measure of grace. Say, preacher, why are you preaching so angrily? I'm mad at the devil. But I'm happy for what I know God's going to do in somebody's life in this room. Because somebody's going to grab a hold of this truth. And it's going to find a lodging place in your heart. And you're going to say, by the grace of God, I will not operate in unbelief anymore. I will continue to believe God. I'm going to walk. And every time I hear something negative, I'm going to find something positive. After a while, the devil ain't going to be messing with you as much as he's messing with somebody else who is not walking in faith, believing God. Oh, let me tell you the third thing. Listen, unbelief keeps back blessings from others. You say, wait a minute, do you think, oh yeah, unbelief keeps back blessings from others. Notice Matthew chapter 17. Notice Matthew chapter 17. Notice verse 14 down through verse 21. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 down through verse 21, notice this. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil. Sometimes you've got to do that. I'm going to be quite frank with you. There are times when I said, I hope that my family didn't hear that. I don't know if you ever hear me or not. His room is right next to our bathroom. It's off of our bedroom. And sometimes I'll be in the bathroom. And pardon me. I have to say, shut up. Be quiet. I was in the shower the other day. And I said, shut up. Just like that. Shut up. I said, I hope my wife didn't hear that. I don't want them to think they got to call somebody. There's something wrong with me. Sometimes you just say something without even thinking about it because of what's transpired. You know, sometimes you just got to say, shut up. Be quiet. And I know those. There are many people say, you ought to say, shut up. Well, you don't know what he was telling me, so amen. I didn't tell you to shut up. I told the devil to shut up. Sometimes you just got to say, shut up, be quiet. And you know what I found? And I'm telling you the truth. What I found when I say shut up, I don't have to say shut up again. It's like as if something just happens. See, once you recognize the devil and he's exposed, he can't hang around but so long. He hang around, he come back now, and you have to tell him the same thing. He can't hang around for so long. It hinders blessing others. Notice verse number 18 again. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Why couldn't we do it? We apostles. We've seen things. We've done things. Why couldn't we cast him out? Notice the answer, verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. I won't go any further than that. You can read it, just amplifies it more. But because of their unbelief, they were ministering, trying to cast the devil out of this boy, but they couldn't do it because of their unbelief. And when you pray and when you fast, hey, you're praying and fasting, trusting and believing God to do something. Now I'll go ahead and read the rest of it. He said, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. He said, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Because of their unbelief, they didn't do what was necessary to cause this demonic spirit to go out. They're operating in unbelief. See, we need to walk in our homes with a spirit of faith. We need to walk on our jobs with a spirit of faith. We need to face obstacles with a spirit of faith. The 10 spies kept back the blessing from the nation because the nation believed their report. See, when we operate in unbelief, it causes blessings to be held back from others. Do you know that God can bless your wife? God can bless your husband. God can bless your children if you operate in faith and not unbelief. Here's the fourth thing. Unbelief causes departure from God. Unbelief causes departure from God. Go back to Hebrews chapter 3 again. Unbelief causes departure from God. Notice Hebrews chapter 3. And notice verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 3, notice verse number 7. It says, wherefore, matter of fact, we're going to go down to verse number 12. Notice Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 12. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. The word provocation means the rebellion. In the day of temptation, that means testing or trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Do you know that people will depart from the word and the ways and the will of God when they are operating in unbelief? If you don't believe a situation will get any better, oftentimes you get out of the will of God. And God calls that an evil heart. Listen, it's a wicked heart. Unbelief. It's evil. Wicked in the sight of God. That's why I told you it's one of the most destructive sins. One of the most destructive sins. And see, when you get to the place where you feel like it'll never get any better, the next thing you know, you'll find yourself leaving the will of God, whatever area that might be. Or you'll find yourself making a decision that God never wanted you to make. Think about it. Abraham, because of his unbelief during a time of famine, departed into Egypt, and they're still dealing with that today. You think about Elimelech, Naomi, Mahlon, and Chilion, departed from Bethlehem, Judah, when there was a famine in the land. Unbelief. If they really believed that God was going to turn it around, they would have been right there, and their lives would have been spared. The husband got killed, and both boys got killed, all because they sojourned, and then they stayed outside of the will of God. See, you can lose a whole lot. They departed from God. There's a person who can't pay their bills. And they say, well, I can't get this bill paid, and I can't get that bill paid. And they pray about something and want God to supply the need. And God doesn't supply the need exactly when they wanted it. They wanted it yesterday. And so God doesn't supply the need right then and there because God wants them to labor just a little bit. And God's already got the workings in, but instead of waiting on God to provide and supply, he said, well, I'm going to take care of this myself, so go out and get a plethora of jobs, and next thing you know, apart from God, away from God, and all of a sudden, God, he takes his hand off of that individual, takes his hand out of that situation, and then there are problems here and problems there and problems there in the person's life. What you've got to do is learn how to trust God. Don't depart when things look rough. My Bible says, and I've already quoted earlier, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do we believe that this morning? Yeah. Here's the last one. The last one. And I'm going to tell you why it's one of the most destructive sins in the world. Number five, unbelief seals a sinner's doom forever. Notice John 3:18. Notice John chapter 3, verse number 18. Unbelief seals a sinner's doom forever. Notice John chapter 3. Notice verse number 18. The opposite of unbelief is faith or believing or belief. Notice John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's verse number 18. Notice verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See, a person who will not put their faith and trust in Christ will die in unbelief and burn in hell forever. If a man die without receiving Christ in unbelief, then that sin of unbelief will not be forgiven in the world to come. There is no middle ground. There is no purgatory. If a person dies in unbelief, That person will open up their eyes in hell and listen to me. 10 years from that point, that person will still be in hell. A million years, and that person will still be in hell. 1 billion years, 1 septillion, 1 quintillion, 1 quadrillion, they will still be in hell. It will be forever. When a person opens up their eyes, they realize they are in the lake of fire. It is forever. It is one of the most destructive sins in the whole world because it dooms a person to hell forever. You say, well, no, murder is. No, murderers have been forgiven and have gone to heaven. Paul was a murderer. He was forgiven. He went to heaven. You said liars. No, that's bad. Yeah, yeah. But a liar has been forgiven. His name was Abraham. Abraham lied, but he got forgiveness. In the hall of fame of faith, he's in heaven. I could go on and on. You name a sin, you could probably find somebody in the Bible. You say, well, homosexuality and lesbianism. 1 Corinthians tells us, such were some of you. But you've been washed, but you've been justified, but you've been sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Even homosexuals and lesbians, they'll come to the cross, can receive forgiveness, and go to heaven. But a person who operates and lives their life in unbelief, in other words, they will not put their faith and trust in Christ, that person will burn in hell forever. There is no forgiveness for unbelief. I trust by the grace of God, if you're not saved, you'll give your heart to Christ. And if you're saved, I hope that you're determined from this point on, ask God to help you get into the Word, because God hates unbelief. He hates it. It brings about His wrath. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19, I echo in closing. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let's bow for a word of prayer.